First Baptist Church of Redmond, April 8, 2012, Easter Sunday, Death and Life.
So if you can tell, our words today, our messages today, our kids today are about death and life. It's important for death to take place in the life of Christ so that we could benefit from his eternal life. For us, unless we're alive when God would come back for us, it's important for us to die so that we can transition to those next stages of life. And the Bible, God tries to communicate some of these things to us in simple ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the importance of life and death and how these two things play together. And when I think, how can I talk about this? I've talked about this before in the past with kids, using these things. Now, when we used to live in California, we lived in a metro area that was smaller than here. My wife and I used to enter into the Madera County Fair, and we'd make fudge, and I used to make salsa and barbecue sauce. And there weren't that many people, so if you got to enter a lot of things, well, you might get a prize. So you enter things, you make stuff. I used to make a lot of salsa. That's back, you know, as life has gone by and health changes, I'm not supposed to eat a lot of chips. My doctor's listening. You can hear, at least I know that's what I'm not supposed to do, Doc, is eat a lot of chips. But back before, I loved to make salsa. And in California, everybody has cilantro almost even growing in their flower boxes. So chopping up jalapenos, onions, and all those kinds of things, mixing them together, you end up with salsa. If I get store-bought salsa, which I hardly ever make it anymore because I kind of get that in weak moments. As I told you, I'm not supposed to eat a lot of chips. So if I have a weak moment and think, I feel like some corn chips today, so I'll go over and get my favorite brand, put it together, and eat it. Yum. How many of you are salsa eaters? And you don't have to. It's okay. Very good. All right. There's different kinds, different things. So much so that at one time or another, all my kids have tried it. Not all of them like it now. But, you know, there's a period of time in our household where my children act, forgive me for the analogy, like our dog. See, our dog likes anything that I eat. If I eat it, if I go in a different room and rustle a piece of plastic, the dog will come over thinking I've opened something up. If I sit down in the living room, have some leftovers, have a snack, I'm going to sit on the coffee table, the dog comes over, and my dog will put its paw on my arm or my shoulder to tap me in case I haven't noticed that she's there. Because if I have food, the dog knows it's good. My children were like that, and especially when they were younger, if Dad eats it, it must be good. So much so that I thought it's too bad they don't make this product for children. Gerber Picante sauce, Second Foods. Have you found that in the store? If you find that in the store, you let me know, because I want to get a few jars of that kind of stuff. No. Forgive me. What are we talking about? What's the point? Well, the point is, all this food we've talked about, vegetables, we talk about onions, cilantro. I have to admit, as I've gotten older, habanero peppers, that's just more than I like anymore. I used to see nothing was too hot, but now stuff definitely, I admit, it's too hot. But I like jalapenos. Sometimes I slice up a little bit of carrot, all those kinds of things in there. All that food was living at some point, growing in somebody's garden somewhere in the world. But it had to die to reach your plate. So as a matter of fact, if you're at a restaurant and your food isn't dead, leave immediately. If you're at a nice restaurant, they might show you like something, but if it's not dead when they serve it to you, I can't advise it to you. Matter of fact, some people say, Pastor, what about different kinds of food? For example, Twinkies. Most fresh food has a shelf life. I talked about the eggs a while ago. But Twinkies come sealed in that little package, and I know it was made with stuff that some of it, at least for a while, was alive. But because Twinkies, you don't see Twinkies walking around anywhere. They were never alive as a creature. They're sealed in plastic. They last forever. They last forever. Because, you know, for us, for most things, death is the engine of life. Things drive towards death. For us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death is the means to life in the physical universe. Things have to die to grow. It can be mentioned Twinkies, I'm sorry to say, even though if you were to look in my house right now, you would find, well, not what's there, but you would find, I'm sorry, chocolate-filled Twinkies. Did you know they made those? That's another day. Hayden likes them. Yes, that's another story. When God sent His Son to us, Jesus had to die. The Bible is filled with words, comments, prophecies, facts about the life of Jesus. In our Sunday school hour, our adults are looking at the book of Isaiah. We just finished Isaiah 53, 54 today, as we look at words about the sacrifice of that Son. Thought about those things as we've gone through Holy Week, Good Friday. But one of the reasons for the incarnation of Christ is that for our benefit, and really for the benefit of the universe, it was a cosmological event, Jesus had to die. We looked at that verse earlier. Christ died for us. And interestingly enough, death was the means for death to be conquered. For us, medicine, if you look at some of the things that we are given for medication, for inoculation, so often we're taken a form of what is dangerous for us, so our bodies can learn to fight them and then hopefully overcome them. And that way, for us, our death doesn't accomplish much other than opening the door for the eternal. But someone in whom was no sin, someone who didn't have to die, folks have said potentially there was only one real complete human in the history of the universe, and that was Jesus Christ. Because that first Adam was created by God, perfect, without a sin principle, without a need to sin, but He chose it. Christ, when He came, being the unique one, the only begotten, the divine human, is the perfect one who came, lived among us, yet said nothing sinful, did nothing sinful. What's always striking is to look at the emotional responses of Jesus. He became perturbed when He saw sin, and He became emotional when He looked at people. But so often when we become emotional is when we say or do the wrong thing. Jesus had His emotions in check. For us, when we look at God's Word, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits, there's one of those gardening words again, of those who have fallen asleep. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. When we look at what God, Jesus, the Bible tells us, to be fully alive, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and become a servant. It's still true that in order to live, I have to die. The Bible says, anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus says, even in life, there are some aspects that we have to look at ourselves and count things as if they were dead. You'll see some of those words coming up in the book of Romans. Count it all, whether it's joy or count yourselves dead to sin. Because God encourages us that if we say that we know God's Word, that Jesus lives in us, that we've trusted in, that the Holy Spirit is there, God says that some sprig of new life from Him is in us. Peter's writings go so far as to say we have some aspect right now of the divine nature in us once we've trusted Christ as Savior. That's a fascinating statement. But as those things are true and they play out in our lives, Jesus tells us that part of our relationship with our Father in heaven, once we trust Jesus as our Savior, once we repent, we change, is to follow all those things through in our lives and see that if we are a brother of the Son, We're people who look at ourselves and see, what is my purpose in life? Because God has me in a spot now with certain responsibilities, with certain contacts, with certain things to do. And in the analogy we have here in these verses in Matthew 10, Jesus, the perfect Son, knew what He had come to do. He had come to bear witness to the truth, and part of that witness was to die for us, because no one else's death had the impact of Christ. So just as Jesus had a perfect plan for His life from God the Father, so God has a plan for us. Now ours is different from Christ because we're different than He is. But Jesus tells His followers, anyone who does not take His cross, or anyone who does not see where God has for you and what your responsibilities are now, what is your task now? Well, for all of us, our tasks are first to honor God with our lives, to believe the things that He tells us, to trust Him. That seems to be the number one thing God wants us to do, is to trust Him. We demonstrate that by using our faith, by believing in Him. And because we believe Him, we listen to the things that He tells us, we read them in the Word and see all these things that God has for us, and we try to put those things, really life, into action. Not as if you just looked at something and closed it and walked away, but instead you've looked at it and you remember. The Bible uses the analogy also of a mirror. If you look in yourself and you see yourself in a mirror, you see, have I shaved? Is there something I should do about my appearance or about my clothes? And you remember that and see if there's something you need to take action about. If we look in God's Word can demonstrate to us things that we've been encouraged for. I'm doing the right kinds of things, but also things that we have to do. So I think that's what Jesus is talking about here when He says, anyone who does not take his cross, anyone who does not take seriously the place he is in life now, what are my responsibilities? How do I demonstrate that I trust God? How do I show that I believe in Him? Not just that I have faith, but I have faith in God's truth, and I try to put those things into action. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me, Jesus says, is not worthy of me. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And those simple words, if you're like me, occupy the rest of your life. God, what should I do? Thank you for a tremendous world you've given us to enjoy. Thank you for things to see and do. Thank you for family and friends. Thank you for the setting in life. And thank you for the call on my life, the call to be Christ-like, the call to use your truth, the call to become involved with living out this kind of a life. It's always easy for us to look at someone else and know what they should do. And I notice that especially in things that are impossible. If you take a look at me, I've never dunked a basketball. I can try later. I don't think I'll do it today for the first time either. But yet, if you sit at my home with my family and we happen to be watching a basketball game, I certainly know what everyone else has done wrong. The screen they've missed. Why did they take that shot? I coach in front of the television. Baseball. I've never played a baseball game in my life. Yet I can definitely tell you why the Mariners are losing. Jack Zarenzik, if you're listening, call me. They're 3-1 right now. Well, good for them. We're called to live our own lives before God. And God has several things that are in common for all of us. That's why we have God's words, God's truths, God's commandments, God's call to repentance, God's words about eternal life, telling us that as we gather together, we should be able to find joy from serving Jesus. But the number one thing God does is Jesus invites us to follow Him, to share that hunger and thirst for God. Matter of fact, in that famous passage that we commonly call the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks about asking. Ask and it will be given you. Seek. Seek and you will find. Knock. Knock and the door will be opened. Because ultimately, Jesus tells us that it's by living that kind of life with Him as our Lord and Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. By putting all our eggs, if you will, in one basket, can we find great success in life. What is success? Jesus told His followers in John 17, here is eternal life, that you would know Him, know Jesus, and the Father who has sent Him. That's essentially a definition of success in life. Do I know? Do I experience? Do I listen to become like the one the Father describes? Blessed is the one who doesn't sit, stand, hang in the wrong place, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. As we think of the power of the cross, this death that has given life, we've heard songs about it, we've looked at some Bible verses about it, but we'd like to pause for a minute and invite you to join with us as we give thanks and show our dependence on that death. 1 Corinthians tells us the significance of the death of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul gives some guidelines for people who gather together like we have to reflect on and share and demonstrate our unity, our connection with the death of Jesus Christ. When we look at this, the Lord's table, it's something that should be uniting people to God, not dividing them. But Paul does give some guidelines. He says that this is significant for people who have absorbed, taken in that message for themselves about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you're somebody who's trusted Christ as your Savior, this supper is for you, because the body of Jesus Christ broken on the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ shed for the atonement of sin, is important for you. So if you've trusted Christ as Savior, this is for you. Additionally, in 1 Corinthians, we see the guidance that as we get ready to serve these things and you stand there and you think, God, there's some things that I haven't talked to you about. There's some things I need to make right. You can make them right with God while you're there. While you're sitting in your seat, while you're standing, while you're singing songs we're about to sing, you can talk to God right then. If there's things you need to make right later, you can do that too. But this is designed to show our unity with God's message. Unity based on His truth, faith in that truth, and in confession and change.